This month, WUGA's Artist in Residence series celebrates the painter Abner Cope, whose lovely portraits capture each person's likeness and something more, some kind of nobility. His work has won numerous awards, including Best of Show at OCAF. He's been featured in several publications, including the magazine International Artist. He taught painting and drawing for 30 years at Central State University in Ohio. And while he lives now in Commerce, he has been influential in the Athens area because he has mentored area painters and teaches classes at OCAF. Abner Cope is here in the studio with me. Abner, thank you for coming.
You're welcome. Glad to be here. This is a wonderful opportunity. I'm so excited about it, and I was delighted to be selected.
Can you tell me a little bit about yourself growing up and what led you into art?
That's an interesting question, but it's a question that I've answered several times, and I'm always happy to answer that because it has an interesting backstory. When I was about 7 years old, my mother asked me if I what did I want to do when I grew up? And I told her that I wanted to be a commercial artist. I don't know where the term commercial came from. However, that's an outdated term. It's now a graphic artist. But however, I told her I wanted to be a commercial artist. And at that point, she told me she gave up on my ever becoming a preacher. The thing is, though, I used to draw my sisters from life when I was quite young. While the other kids were drawing cartoons from magazines, I would have them pose for me, and I would draw them from life. My first inclination to become that I was perhaps gifted or had a gift was when I was fascinated by my sister's drawings and decided to try them on my own. To my delight, I was quite taken with the process, and I never looked back.
Wow. And how did your family react?
They were passé. Yeah. They didn't support particularly, but they did not discourage either.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting part about that whole story is it wasn't until my father was about 74 years old when he and I were visiting the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
Because I was up there. We were up there to visit my brother and his family. And at the Smithsonian is when my father told me, well, son, you know that you got your talent from me. I had no idea. I was in my 40s at the time and did not have any idea.
Wow. So your father was an artist at heart, if nothing else, right?
Well, my father used to draw all the time until he had to quit school mm-hmm. in the eighth grade to help take care of his mother and siblings.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You had the benefit of not having to take that path.
I sure did, as well as the benefit of having inherited his gift.
Right. Well, speaking of path, what was your path like as you grew up into where you are now as far as learning your craft?
It was an interesting, well, the learning part is a different, I thought maybe you had a different question, but let me give you both. What I thought we were leading to was what was my activity in art in growing up. But my path was I would take always gravitate to the art classes in school.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in elementary school, I would always do drawings. And my teachers were very encouraging because they would always get me to pull me out of class, which I have to admit I rather enjoyed, to do bulletin boards art for their classes.
Oh, okay.
And so I was encouraged all along. And the other encouragement came from my peers, my classmates, who always supported and gave me accolades for the work that I created. I have to tell you an interesting story, however. When I was in the 11th grade, I had a crush on this young lady. And when the yearbooks came out, I decided to do a look in the yearbook and do a drawing of her portrait, of her picture from the yearbook. I stayed up all night long doing that portrait. I couldn't wait to get to class the next day because she was in our homeroom class. And I shared the portrait with her, and she about fell off her seat. She said, "You are so gifted. However, it didn't get me any closer to having a date with her.
It didn't get you a date.
No.
See, that should have at least gotten a date in my mind. Gosh. And that's pretty creative, too. Pretty creative approach. I never tried that one myself. So where did you go after high school?
After high school, I went to Georgia Southern University. Mm-hmm. And where I was told later that I was the first African-American graduate of the art department.
Wow.
At Georgia Southern University.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. I studied painting and was my major.
Mm-hmm.
And I minored in printmaking.
Do you still keep in touch with any of your professors from those years?
Funny you should ask. I had a big show at the Averitt Gallery in Statesboro, Georgia, about 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and one of my former professors, because they partnered with Georgia Southern University to sponsor that,
mm-hmm.
and one of my first professors at Georgia Southern University's art department was a professor by the name of Roxy Rimley, and invited her to the exhibit. To my surprise, I had no idea she would show up. And when she arrived, she leaned over and whispered to me, she said, "Abner, I am 97 now. How old are you?" But I was pleasantly surprised because she was one of my favorite instructors there.
Well, you know, I asked that question because what I have discovered in doing the interviews with the artists over the years is so many of them do maintain those relationships. And sometimes they come with very funny stories.
Yeah, that one did.
And as we're talking about your developmental years as a student, now's a good time perhaps to ask you, who were the other artists that you sort of were influenced by as you developed your skills?
The artist that comes to mind right away is an artist by the name of Andrew Wyeth. And my introduction to his work took place when I was still a student at Georgia Southern University. He is the American realist who is known for using the medium egg tempera, mm-hmm. in his work. And it really afforded him incredible detail in his work because it was painstakingly deliberate and slow discipline, mm-hmm. and medium, but he was able to work it with to perfection, and I was fascinated with his paintings of landscapes and individuals in landscapes because I've always been interested in painting and drawing the figure,
mm-hmm.
and I was so fascinated with his work during the time that I was an undergraduate at Georgia Southern University, and he remained one of my favorites for quite a while. However, after arriving at Eastern Michigan University for graduate school and becoming introduced to more artists, I started to look at people like Edgar Degas, mm-hmm. the French Impressionist, Edouard Manet, another one of the French Impressionists, and ultimately I became introduced to the famous, well-known portrait painter by the name of John Singer Sargent. One of anyone who's interested in painting the figure or portraits will know John Singer Sargent at one point or another in their careers. He is the benchmark,
mm-hmm.
for that particular genre.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned a medium a moment ago, egg tempera?
Egg tempera.
Can you describe that? Well, I don't know what that is.
Well, egg tempera is... it has egg yolk as a binder that's also mixed with a dry pigment, colored pigment, to create the paint.
Interesting. Yeah. So it's kind of a syrupy consistency?
I would say sticky.
Sticky, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
What were some of the challenges you faced during your years as a student?
I had major challenges in the graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
Let me back up a step.
Yeah.
In undergraduate school, toward the end of my studies at Georgia Southern University, I sent out applications to graduate programs across the country. I sent one to Yale University, to schools out in California. I sent one to various schools around the country. And the first response that I got back said that my painting, and I applied for painting, their painting program.
Mm-hmm.
And the first response was that I could paint fine, but that I could not draw. When I got that response back, I was a little taken aback. However, I didn't quite believe it. And the reason why is because I had, while at undergrad at Georgia Southern, I worked at McDonald's in the local, with the local McDonald's in town.
Yeah.
And a lot of my peers, a lot of my coworkers rather, found out that I could paint, and they would commission me to do different paintings.
How about that?
My commissions were rather modest, however, but it still was confirmation that in my mind, I had arrived.
Yeah,
and so,
sure.
But at least it was confirmation that people felt good about how I could draw, at least I thought.
Right.
But I found out later that that really wasn't the case. So after having received every single response from the various universities around the country criticizing my drawing abilities, I finally accepted the fact that perhaps they were right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the move for me, I felt, was to apply to graduate school in drawing so that I can enhance my drawing skills. However, the only school that would accept me in the drawing program was Eastern Michigan University, but only as a non-degree graduate student, which meant that I could use that program to enhance my drawing skills and then reapply for graduate school, which made sense to me. And I did that. I spent, well, when I first arrived in the area, I stayed in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and then moved to Ypsilanti, Michigan, to be near the campus of Eastern Michigan. And however, I couldn't start right away because funds would not allow. I had a young family at the time. I had a daughter and a wife, and our funds would not allow me to start school right away. So I spent time working, and one of the jobs that I had was a custodial or janitorial work on campus at Eastern Michigan University. And I thought that that worked out to my benefit because not only was I on campus, my particular building was the art building.
Oh, well, that's even better.
It was quite an opportunity. And I decided that I would spend time in the various offices when I could during my breaks because I worked overnight. There was no one around, and I had all the keys. And so I could go into the various offices and look at books and books and books and read them and study those artists that I admired and, you know, and then practice on my drawing skills. And then eventually I was able to, we had enough funds that I could then sign up for drawing classes. And I took drawing classes for about a year or so and then reapplied and I was accepted into the program. Now, all along, I was taking figure drawing classes because of my fascination with the figure. However, when I was accepted to graduate school, after well, what they would do is they gave us each three major professors. However, the first major professor that I was getting ready to start with caught me in the hallway because I had been taking some classes from him as well. I took drawing classes from that professor and drawing classes from one other to enhance my portfolio. Well, he pulled me aside in the hallway and he said to me, "Abner, you have been accepted into the program, but you have to get rid of the figure." He said to me, "The figure is not mature enough for graduate school." And I didn't see it at the time, but that was a sign that I was going to have problems. And so, and as luck would have it, I ended up with that professor being the first one that I took classes from in graduate school. And there's when my struggles began.
Okay.
He always wanted me to do abstract work. And whenever I tried to do figurative work, and even representational without the figure, he would ignore me during the critiques, and I would felt like I was not really welcome into the program, and that he perhaps may not be able to work with me.
Oh.
But what I did was I hired models on the weekend and at night and continued to draw from the models in secret.
Mm-hmm.
And during the day,
yeah,
I would do abstract work to try to please him.
Try and satisfy the course requirements.
What I found out later, that it had more to do with his discipline. There is a process in graduate school, at least at Eastern Michigan University, mm-hmm. within the art department, whereby they will give you a year-end review mm-hmm. at the end of your first year. If your work does not come up to what they feel the standards that will allow you to graduate,
mm-hmm.
Rather than waste the second year, they'll ask you to leave the program.
Mm-hmm.
When I had my year-end review, I brought in a body of work with to show to a team of about five or six art faculty members. I showed the work, and they were on the cusp of maybe dismissing me from the program, but they pulled me aside and said that they saw talent there, but they didn't feel that I was maximizing the talent.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically because I was trying to meet what I thought were the requirements
sure.
of the program via the first major professor that I had. Then as time went along, let's back up. They told me that they feel that I had the potential and that they were going to allow me to remain in the program on condition
mm-hmm.
that the work improves and that I'm able to to show them what they had that anticipated. However, I continued to work with the figures that I the models that I hired at night and over the weekends. And one day I was away from my studio, and my major professors made a visit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I returned to the studio, he had left. However, he left a message to my neighbor who said that he wanted to see me in his office immediately. I can't describe how much of a panic I was in. However, when I arrived at his office, he told me that he had seen all of the large drawings, because the drawings were 5 feet drawings that I would do on large pieces of paper that I hung up on the walls. They were charcoal drawings. He told me that he had seen those drawings, and he said to me that I needed to stop listening to them and continue to do what I was doing. Once I had my graduate thesis exhibition, the committee said to me that it was the best exhibition that they'd had at that university in over 10 years. Much to my delight,
sure,
it turned from being ousted
mm-hmm, sure.
to being encouraged.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that to me was my calling card. That was my validation,
mm-hmm.
and that was all I needed to continue the path I was in.
Wow. Well, that's an amazing story there. I'm going to shift gears a little bit.
Sure.
I've got a couple of questions about your work, and then I want to ask about the event coming up at your house.
Sure.
So I'm told you have a special knack for getting skin tones particularly right. How do you do that?
I work with what I consider a limited palette, and I was taught that palette by the well-known portrait artist who is still active today by the name of Daniel Green. Daniel Green is from a strand of painters known as the Eight or Ashcan School. It was headed by Robert Henry. Daniel Green's teacher was taught by Robert Henry at the Art Students League in New York. Every summer for about 18 years or so, I would make a trip up to New York to study with Daniel Green at his workshops. Mm-hmm. After about 3 or 4 years of attending, he decided to ask if I would be one of his monitors. The palette is made up of strings of warm colors, cool colors, and ochre colors, as well as light and dark colors. And with that particular palette, I will find colors in everyone's skin tone, regardless of ethnicity. Hmm. And it really makes for a very vibrant undertone or underpainting, and which people seem to be attracted to.
Yeah, very good. So when you teach art students, you stress that a good portrait should capture more than just the person's likeness. How do you do that?
That's an interesting question, and I'm not so sure that I could give you a satisfactory answer, because it has a lot to do with observation. Mm-hmm. And when I teach, I start with the very basics. Those artists who are well-known and who have been very successful throughout art history, and I know this is cliche, but they do the basic things well. Mm-hmm. And part of the basics has to do with the drawing. And if one can develop the skill for determining where edges begin to turn, when they turn, the degree of the turn, and for how long they're turning, therein lies, to me, the secret to capturing the essence of the sitter.
Really? Yeah. The edges?
Yes.
How about
the
that?
Edges of contour, or the edges of shapes. Mm-hmm. The edges of the shapes of the nose, the edges of the shapes of the cheek, mm-hmm. The edges of the shapes of the mouth. All of those things make up so much about the essence of the sitter.
Now, that sounds like something you can literally work on endlessly. How do you know when you're done?
Well, it's all going to be in degrees of ability. By mm-hmm. that I mean, the highly skillful artist will have mechanisms in place mm-hmm. to determine all of that information. In other words, to determine how far to go before they are done. Mm-hmm. And so a person has to work within their own capability. And so they will know according to their own skill level. Mm-hmm. When they're done with an edge. But the more experienced you are, the greater your skill level is if you're sticking with the techniques that I normally teach.
Do you ever run out of subjects?
Never. Sitting here now, you have been the subject for the last, 15 minutes?
You should have brought your paints.
I probably should have.
How long does it take to finish a portrait? You do a lot of them, right?
I do a lot of portraits. And as those who would be able to attend the artist in residence at my home will be able to see that I work constantly. And I say that because I don't hope I'm not jumping the gun.
No, actually, it's a great transition because that's where we're headed next.
Great. Well, because I am going to be displaying some 80 paintings now. And they range in degree of 3 hour long paint portraits mm-hmm. to 240 hour long portraits. Quite a range.
Yes.
And because I have so many that I'm displaying, mm-hmm. I'm going to be displaying some 50 or so in one room.
Wow.
But I'm going to do it salon style. Mm-hmm. And I have to be honest, my wife is the one who suggested, well, why don't we just put them all on this, you know, on a wall, few walls in this large room, mm-hmm. At least that group. But the other 30 or so would be spread out around other studios in the house. There will be some 39 paintings on one wall at our home. Mm-hmm. And they will be stacked. That was the idea behind the salon-style exhibitions uh-huh. in Paris. They would stack them several layers high, and certainly very wide, and they would not have a lot of room between them.
Yeah. Since we're going to be seeing a large number of paintings that presumably go back in time a fair amount relative to your career, how far back are we going?
Well, the drawings will be the art that will travel far back.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because some of the drawings will be from graduate school.
Okay.
So they travel pretty far back.
Sure.
However, the paintings probably only have been around, the longest ones have been around probably about 6 years,
mm-hmm.
the ones that I will have on display.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that's going to be special about this event that I haven't asked you about that you'd really like to comment on?
Well, there will be, if I can back up to the three-hour paintings,
mm-hmm.
many of the three-hour paintings are done through demonstrations I've done in my classes, or they may have been done through demonstrations that I've done at art festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And a third venue would be paintings that I've done with an artist group that I meet with out at OCAF.
Okay.
We meet on Tuesdays for 3 hours, and we hire models.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have been done from those sessions.
Okay, very good. Abner Cope, thank you for coming in.
You're quite welcome. I have enjoyed this interview, and I am so delighted to have been selected as one of the artists in residence.
I've been speaking to painter Abner Cope, WUGA's featured artist in residence for August. The event at his home and studio will take place on August 17th in Commerce. For more information or to RSVP, you can contact Kathy Bradbury at wuga@uga.edu or 706-542-WUGA. That number is 706-542-9842. For WUGA, I'm Michael Carton.